Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Lost, Found, Restored.
So it's such a privilege to be sharing today. It's been a while since I was here, so I'm really looking forward to sharing with you what God has put in my heart. And I really believe that this message is for everyone, because, you know, God is such a wonderful God. You know, He's given us His beautiful Son, Jesus, for us. But it is not just for us so that we feel good about ourselves. He actually, you know, when we were lost, He seeks, He calls, and He empowers. And that's my title today, that He seeks, He calls, He empowers. He doesn't leave us on the lurch. When He saved us, He wants to empower us to do great things for Him. Do you believe that, church? I don't know if you have ever been lost before. Have you ever thought of, you know, the time when you were lost? I remember quite vividly when I was in Singapore, when I was about 9 years old. I was with my family. I've never really been overseas. But at that time, I was at the shopping mall and I was with my family. My family is a big family. I've got my parents and my grandma was with us at the time. And we've got six children, including myself. So we were all at the shops. And so we went our separate ways, but I was with my parents. So we were looking at some merchandise. And so we were looking, and I turned around, and my parents weren't there. So I didn't panic at first, but and then I was thinking, okay, where could they be, you know, looking around. And then panic started to sink in, and because I couldn't find them. So I was really, really scared. There's a little bit of confusion because there was a new place and I didn't know where I was. But then a sense of confidence came to me. I'm thinking, well, where our apartment is actually not that far from here. So I thought, this nine-year-old girl. So I walked out and thinking that I could get back to my place, the apartment. What if I just go there and then just wait for them at the door or something and then they'll turn up? So I started walking out and then suddenly, everything seems to be the same. Buildings, everywhere. So this is about half an hour to an hour's time, and I started to panic. So as I was walking down the street, I saw these high school people, because I think it's just after school, so they were walking out from their school. So I thought, okay, teenagers, they must be friendly, and, you know, they might be able to help me. So I went up to one of the girls, and told her, you know, that I'm lost. So she was very friendly. She took me to the police station and said to me, or told them that I was lost. So the police sent they actually made an announcement in the shopping center and called my parents. And then eventually they came to find me. And I was there remembering sipping a really nice can of cold Coke, you know, thinking, okay, I found them. But in the sense of me, well, I was thinking, oh, no, I'm going to be in big trouble now because they're going to ask me where I've been, you know, why did I get lost? So there is a sense of, you know, anxiety, but there's also a sense of relief, right, when you are found. So God is so good to us. I don't know about your salvation story. I mean, brother, some of you have like radical stories like our brother Kay, perhaps. Some of you might just have a heartwarming story. And some of you might think that, you know, my story isn't that great because I've grown up in a church and one day I just received Jesus into my heart. But it doesn't matter what story you have. Your story of salvation is so significant that God is always seeking for the lost. You know, in the Bible, there's lots of stories about the lost. You know, the lost coin, the woman who had lost a coin, and then the lost sheep, the shepherd who has lost the sheep, and of course, the lost son that we hear so much about, right? The prodigal son. But what is common about those three stories is that there is always a seeker. God is always seeking for us. God is always seeking for us. Even though, yes, we have received salvation, but I just feel like this is a season. Sometimes we don't even know where we are. We know that we are safe, but we are circling and sometimes don't know if we are in the middle of God's will. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do forget who I am in Him. So I just Jordan, can you just flash up the next one? Now, the definition of lost is unable to find one's way, not knowing one's whereabouts. And the synonyms include stray, astray, of course, off track, off the right track, disoriented, having lost one's bearings, adrift, going round in circles. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. It's you're doing the mundane. Day by day, you're doing the same old, and you're wondering, what is my purpose here? What is God wanting me to do? You know, with my life, maybe there's a change of career. You know, maybe you want to study. I don't know. Or where God is taking me in my education or in my workplace. You know, should I change job or even with my family? You know, all those things that are going into your head that is that you're not sure where you are right now. But God is here. God is here. Sometimes we face adversity, but, you know, God is always there. And sometimes we forget about who we are in him and what we have, the inheritance that we have in him, you know. I just want to share a passage about Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, some of you who are, you know, who grew up in Sunday school, you probably know this, yeah, through a song. The Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up on a sycamore tree, and the Lord he wanted to see. So this is a familiar story, but as I read on, I just find, you know, where's Evie? Evie, you know, Evie shared about ruminating on God's word a few weeks ago, and it was so amazing. Like when you read God's word just directly without reading any commentaries or, you know, anyone's sermon about a passage, you get so much out of it because you are digesting yourself. So even though you are hearing from me as a third party, but I really encourage you guys to spend time with God, to spend time in his word. So let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for today, Lord, and thank you for all the wonderful grace preachers we've had in the past that has given us insights of your love, of your grace, Lord, that, Father, today in our life, if there is a part of us that needs to hear the gospel once more, that you would show us, that you would just tell us, just let us know how we can receive that into our lives, Lord, that we will want to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to do the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at this passage of Zacchaeus and see how he has received the Lord. Okay, so this is from Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Okay, we're just going to break down this passage into a few bits because I want you guys to take home with you that God seeks, he calls, and he empowers. Okay, let's read. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So let's have a look at what Z, I say Z because I have written to his name so many times, I just put Z, right? So Zacchaeus, who is he? In your mind, he's probably, yes, because it's written short, but I find that he's probably pretty smart, very good with money. He's probably an accountant, but he's also the crook of all crooks because he was hated by his own people because he was cheating from his own people, the Jewish people, because he was in the business of collecting tax, right? So that's how he made his money. So he hears about this Jesus who's a friend of the sinners. So he knows that he is not very popular with his friends, with the community, and he wants to see this Jesus. He's curious about this Jesus, and so he wants to go and see him. But because of his short stature, he can't see Jesus. So he's running. But can you imagine? Zacchaeus is desperate to see Jesus. I don't know if the last time when you came to know Christ, were you desperate to see him? You know, you hear, maybe you're at a conference or something. Something in you sparked this desire to want to know him, or at least the curiosity who this Jesus is. You are down in your luck, you know, in your life, that you want to see some hope. So perhaps Z is a little bit like that, you know, because he's got everything. He's got his wealth, you know, maybe he's got these knuckle rings and you know, and Chanel clothing or something. But here he is, he's running. Can you imagine how undignified this would look, right? Can you imagine, like, I don't know, a supermodel with their heels and running and sprinting ahead of everyone in the shopping mall just to see something, right? So that's what he was like. So he has that desire, that urgency to want to see Jesus. So I don't know if he's fit, but he climbed on this tree. So a sycamore tree, I was thinking, what's so significant about this sycamore tree? So I was studying a little bit about this because back in those days, people like to plant these type of trees along the pathway so that it gives shade. So just have a look at the something like this, because I don't know if in your mind what you think of a sycamore tree is, but it's actually a very big, bold, robust tree, right? So it has sort of like a circumference of averaging like 6 meters and then goes up to 9 to 12 meters high. So here is Zacchaeus, a little man, trying to climbing up this tree, right? So it is a shady, because people planted these trees along the path so that it gives shades to those people who are passing by on the path. So here he comes, because he knows that people are going to pass that path and Jesus is going to come as well, so he will get a good glimpse of him. Now, I don't know if anyone has a place. I feel that this is a symbolic of where we get a glimpse of Jesus, or perhaps this is a place where we hide from him, because this tree is either a place of hiding or a place of refuge. It is a place where we feel like, you know, if we don't, we're trying to avoid Jesus, because we know that Jesus is good. Once we receive salvation, we know that he is good for us. That, you know, if we come to him, we know our purpose in life. But a lot of times we just try to avoid him for some reason. So this is a hiding place for Zacchaeus, even though he wants to know Jesus, but he feels like, okay, if I want to just get a glimpse of him, that will be enough. So he climbed on this tree. So I just want you guys to have a little think about, you know, where do we go? Where do we want to see Jesus when we are a little bit confused? But at the same time, we feel like we're trying to avoid him. There's a lot of work in our life that we do in a way of trying to avoid him. It could be our kids, it could be our job, it could be some sort of escape. It could be, I don't know, whatever it is that in each person's life that we have a place of escape or a place of hiding from God. I don't know if you, in the Bible, there's also Adam. Do you remember Adam in Genesis, where he hid from God when he felt ashamed, you know, when he's eaten from the tree of life and God was looking for him? God obviously knows where he is, but he said, where are you? Can we just pick that up? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, they heard the sound of the Lord, they as in Adam and Eve, of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Is God asking us, where are you? Where are we in life? Are we a little bit lost? So this is a bit of a comparison when Adam was trying to hide from God. Okay, let's go back to Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So here is Zacchaeus up in the tree trying to hide from the crowd because he don't want the crowds to see him, this wealthy man, up on the tree, right? So he just wants to see who Jesus is. But here Jesus is coming and then looking up and actually pointing to Zacchaeus. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. So he's seeking for him. Because I really believe, you know, Rena shared about, you know, Jesus coming to see the Samaritan woman. So this is the man version, right? So actually, I feel like Jesus is actually looking out for Zacchaeus. He's looking out for him. And the same way, he's looking out for us. He's actually seeking for us every single time. So he's seeking him, and then he call him by name. How does Jesus know Zacchaeus' name, right? So in the same way, God knows us by name. He knows us. He was always calling us. So he told him to come down, and then Zacchaeus, I think to his surprise, he was surprised, but he was also very joyful. So he came down and he received Jesus and he takes him to his house. So it's like inviting someone really important to your house. So I'm sure that Zacchaeus has put up maybe like a 10-course meal, a degustation with all his servants. And you can imagine, like with Zacchaeus, he is a bit of an outcast, right, in his community. So I don't think he will have many friends coming over to his house. He's not that hospitable. And, well, I'm sure that the tax collector friends will be there, but not his other friends, right? I don't think he's got anybody. So he's a bit of a loner in that sense. But here comes Jesus, you know, in his house, dining with him. So let's look at the next bit. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, okay, this is when, before this, you can tell that Jesus was dining with Zacchaeus. It is like having a communion with Jesus. It's, you know, we have such a privilege every week that we have a communion with Jesus, isn't it? It's like a banquet, a feast of having that communion with Jesus. And you know, once again, that we know what we have in him. So it is a fellowship with him. But I can imagine Zacchaeus probably has a family. And so his family was dining with him, and then they're having this wonderful meal and, you know, communicating with Jesus. And Jesus is probably telling him of the kingdom values, what the kingdom has and what he has in, you know, if he receives Jesus, if he believes in God, and what he has in him. And I really believe that, you know, Zacchaeus has a conviction in his heart of knowing exactly what he needs to do after that communion with Jesus. Because sometimes when we come to God, you see, you know, even through worship, I feel like that is our place of communion. It could be taking a meal, you know, the bread and the wine, but in our own quiet time, where do we come to see and have a glimpse of Jesus? It could be, I really believe that it is a place of worship. That's where we actually see beyond our circumstance of, you know, we don't know where we are. We're a little bit disoriented. We're a bit confused. But see, when we come into a place of worship, it's all about Jesus. And when we utter those words, he hears us. He hears us. And he really, really wants to do, wants us to put us right in the middle of his will, in his purpose. So the communion comes from our worship to him. So here we are, we have Zacchaeus, you know, having a meal with Jesus, and he's been transformed in the same way. It's like having a mind shift in what he thinks of what he should do. So after the communion, the people saw what was happening, and they were complaining that he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner, that Jesus has gone. With, you know, dining with Zacchaeus. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." You know, this is really out of Zacchaeus' character. You know, when he was born, his parents named him Zacchai or Zacchaeus. The name, the definition of his name, it means pure, innocent, righteous. He was not any of those things, right? He was guilty and he was, you know, cheating people and he was unrighteous. But see, God, when Jesus called him by Zacchaeus, he is reestablishing his identity and his position, you know, back to being innocent, being righteous, and being pure. So, but these people are complaining about, you know, how come he's dining with these people, with Zacchaeus, right? So, you know, when we look around our friends, we think, oh, there is no hope. Jesus is not going to, you know, have a bar of him, or, you know, how can they come to Jesus? But we don't want to be like those people who are complaining or who are feeling, you know, that our friends is not good enough for Jesus, because Jesus always is on the lookout. Remember, he seeks, he calls, and he restores their life, and he empowers them. So here it is, Zacchaeus. I think he is totally transformed now, because he is willing to give up his money. Half of his money, he said he owns, will give to the poor. And then the other half, if he's cheated to anybody, cheated anyone, he will give them fourfold. So this is really out of his character. So when he spends time with Jesus, when we spend time with God, God will direct us what to do. And whatever we need to do, it will be seen as the supernatural. It will be seen as really easy for us to do. You know, Rena has shared with us, brief encounter, big change. Imagine the time that we spend with God every day, what kind of change that will make. That would be so amazing. If we spend just a little bit of time with Jesus, what kind of change we can make in our lives. So this is what Zacchaeus has transformed into. He is completely transformed. He is being restored, and he is full of compassion. And I really believe that this compassion is really from the Lord. See, when we spend time with God, we have that compassion to do great things for him. And, you know, was reading some text about what happened to Zacchaeus afterwards. Do you know that he became, he was storing wealth for himself, right, which will eventually rot and would not matter on this earth when he leaves. But he was actually, now he is telling people about God. So, you know, after this, we know by church tradition, he actually became a bishop. He became a pastor of a local church and became great and you know, sowing seeds and bringing people to God's kingdom. So that's what he did after. But here we know that he has he's doing the restoration process. He is giving out everything that he owns, and there is a passage in the Bible that talks about this the young rich ruler. The young rich ruler was also given the choice. He was given the choice of, you know, God loves him very much. Jesus said to him, you come into the kingdom of God, because he's got everything, this rich ruler. Can we have the next text? Thanks, Jordan. Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him. He said, there is one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth, and come follow me. The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear, and he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go. See, it may not be wealth that we have, but it could be something that we are holding on to that we are not willing to let go. But Jesus is saying, let go. Let go and let him take control. So this young ruler, I mean, he's turned around and he's feeling very, very sad, because he wanted to do things his way. You know, he wants to do by his own works. But see, when we turn to Jesus, Jesus is going to turn things around for us. And Zacchaeus knows that, you know, yes, even though he's given all his wealth away, but he knows his Jesus. He knows where he can get more resources from him. He knows that he's got a God who will have given him so much that he will have so much to give away. You know, that there is nothing that he is lack of. So when we know Jesus, we know that, you know, we have a God full of so much resources. There is nothing of lack. And Jesus said to him, the next slide, today salvation has come to this house, because he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus is calling him son of Abraham. You see, Zacchaeus was actually Jewish, right? So he has the bloodline of Abraham, but he also shares the same faith now as Abraham. So we too are the sons and daughters of Abraham. We're the sons and daughters of God. So he is bringing back his identity. He's saying, you are the son of Abraham. You are Zacchaeus. God is saying to us, you know, you are somebody who matters to me. That he, you know, sometimes if we forget who we are in him, you know, he's saying to us who we are in him. You know, he has been reestablished to a position of privilege. And, you know, we have been adopted by God from the very beginning. You see, God has already has us in his mind from the very beginning. From this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, 5, if we look at this, in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. See, he's planned everything for us, even before we were born. We were born for a purpose. We are born to do great things for him. He has come to seek us and he has come to call us home and call us to dine and have fellowship with him. And he has come to empower us. He doesn't just, you know, leave us on the lurch, but he has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do great things. You know, I don't know where you are in life right now. Perhaps you know exactly what you are doing, you know, but those of us who sometimes, you know, revert back to, I don't know what God wants me to do. But God is saying, yes, just come, just come, just come and have fellowship with me and I will tell you what you need to do and you have the supernatural life in you. And according to with his pleasure and will, that is so beautiful to know that, you know, it is his pleasure that we are born. It is his pleasure that we are here, that it is his pleasure that we call him Lord. You know, when Zacchaeus called Jesus Lord, I really believe that he has that personal relationship with him. He has found the seeker. He has found the Father. He has found, he's like the seeker, right? He's looking for the lost things, but yet at the end, he has been found. It's like the coin has been found, the sheep has been found, the son has come home to the Father. And I just want you to encourage you all today, come home to the Father. Come and have fellowship with him, commune with him. Come and worship the Father who has created us. Just for the last bit, I want you to bring your attention to this little clip. I don't know if some of you have watched this. It's a little bit violent, but I won't show the violent bit. It's Blood Diamond. It's about this family who was separated by the rebels because the rebels captured the son and he was taken away to be a child soldier. So it happened in Sierra Leone during the Civil War. But see, this son was separated by his father. And so I just want you to take in this clip and just have a feel of our friends that are lost. You know, we know who we are. We are saved. And the wonderful thing about is we come to this church and the church message is all about God's grace for us. You know, how God's grace empower us to do great things. But, you know, our friends don't know about Jesus yet and they don't know their identity in Christ. You know, I love our new logo that has the fingerprint on every side that God knows each of us. We are each you so unique to him, but he loves us the same. He loves us the same, and we have a purpose in him. So no matter where you are in your life, that he knows where you are, and he wants to call you home, and have a communion with him, and he really will empower you to do great things. Okay, can I just invite everyone to just stand, and we just say a prayer, and we just invite the worship team to come forward as well. Thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for a reminder of your love for us today. That no matter where we are in our lives, Lord, if we feel lost, if we're a little bit disoriented or off course or astray or off track, Father, you know where we are. That you have predestined us through this adoption through Jesus Christ. That we have a place in your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. For saving us, Lord, that we come to a relationship with you, that you want us to just communion with you, with our beautiful Lord Jesus. Things may seem hard, people, but God loves us so much. Things will become easy when we come to him. Our yoke will be lighter because he will take away everything that is heavy on our hearts. Nothing is too hard for him, people. He is our God. He is our Lord. What he's done for Zacchaeus, he has transformed him. He has given him a new mind, a new mind shift. He can do the same for us. that we can be light and salt in this world because we know who we are. We know our identity in Him. We thank you, Lord, for just choosing us, that you have us in your mind already. You are calling us by name. You are calling us by name. You know who we are. You know Zacchaeus. He has been reinstated. He is pure. He is innocent. And he is the Son of God. And so are we. We are a child of God. We are a daughter of God. We are so much more. We are so much more. We are so much more. You know, he is such a good, good Father. He knows where we are. And, you know, if we come to him, he will direct us. He will direct us. We are no longer going around in circles. We are no longer making excuses for ourselves. He has a destiny for us. You know, he wants to call us to do great things. It is the unknown. Yes, it is uncertainty. But you know what? God goes before us. He already knows. He already knows. Just come. Just come. Just in this moment, I just want you to say a little prayer for yourself. That God, you know where I am. I'm very tired of just not knowing, just going around in circles and doing the mundane. I want to be right on track with you once more. That I'll come to the Father, come into the place of worship, that you become our hiding place. When things get hard, we come to you. We come to you because you are our refuge. You are our sycamore tree. That we come for shelter. We come for your love. You are a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord, that you empower us to go out into the world to be salt and light. The power is in us. The power is in us.